Okay, good evening, everyone. Big Asher Kobach to Rachel and Daniel for hosting, and the entire Krish family for hosting tonight. Thank you, Shoshana, for putting this together as part of the Sisterhood Initiative for more Torah, especially before the Yom Tovim. Our learning tonight is for Fu Shlema. If you remember, the shul is going through a big surgery tomorrow, Saratova Bas Zelda, as well as for all of our Chayalim, for protecting us and Am Yisrael, and for all the Shvuyim that should come back safely to Ezras Hashem.
I'm sorry, are you taping?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm recording. Yeah. If you say something, don't worry about it. We'll cut it out of the recording. Okay. I've been thinking about this topic for the past few weeks because, we'll get to what it is in a moment, but I feel like this is day 59 of the war, and we're like living one continuous, you know, holiday. And what I mean by that is Sukkot didn't really end for us. Like, we had a Simchas Torah, we had a Shmini Atzeres, and like there was no like formal break. I remember the end of Yontif, and I didn't really know what to say or how to say it or like formally end. Like, we had, I think, a meaningful Simchas Torah in the shul. It was very intense in many ways, and that didn't end. There was no break, right? There was no break, and then you went straight into everyone finding out what really happened, and we're still struggling with all of that in our lives. And what is amazing, and I've seen this idea before, is that there are many connections between the holiday of Sukkot and the holiday of Chanukah. Habale Motova on Thursday night. So I'm going to ask that question. Can you think of connections, relationships, similarities between these two holidays?
8 days.
8 days. Amazing. Perfect. Easy one. Yeah. But can you say that? I'll say that and a little bit better. Say a little bit deeper. Because you could say in America, we have 8 days for Pesach. You can
No, but it's 8 days for Israel also.
Okay, 8 days for Israel. And what do we do on those 8 days?
We do something every single day. We shake a wolf every single day. You're related to candle every single day. We say Hallel every single day.
And
we say
what type of Hallel?
Full Hallel.
Full Hallel, good. So it's the only two times during the entire year where it's not just an 8 day holiday, but it's an 8 day holiday. You should gomrin both a Hallel. You say not Chatzi Hallel, you say Hallel Shalem on both of those days. Great. Anything else? Any other similarities?
And it's the holidays, you display it outside to the rest of the world. You sit outside in the sukkah, everybody sees it. You put your menorah at the window, everybody sees it.
Amazing. By definition, when it comes to the holiday of Chanukah, it is by the window in Eretz Yisrael, it's by the door, it's specifically outside. And Chanukah, maybe not on purpose, but the way that it's done is that it's done outside the home. You go outside, right? And you, right, for Sukkot, and people see it. You can argue that the two most beautiful holidays that we have in Eretz Yisrael, where it's really on display. I remember when Sarah and I were living in Israel, and we were in Gruz, we used to walk around on Chanukah, one night of Chanukah, just around Meishan. Because it's so condensed, it's so tight, and like every single like window, every single doorway in it, it's so beautiful. It gets dark early, and then you appreciate that it gets dark early. Just for those 8 days, that's it. Otherwise, you don't like it getting dark early. But you really see that, right? And it's on display very much, those two Yom Tovim.
I think along those lines, also, yeah. These are like the two places where you have this concept of Hidr Mitzvah.
Yeah.
Of like decorating the sukkah and then also having like the 8 lights, like as opposed to just like the obligation, which is just.
I should have put my lights on.
Yeah.
I have there are lights, but I was waiting for actual Hanukkah.
Rachel's very machmir on Hidr Mitzvah.
Very machmir on Hidr Mitzvah. Yeah. Tomorrow, Ariel comes home early from school and we're doing the inside.
We take
our holiday decorating very seriously here.
Truth is, this is textually, this is very accurate, not just like the way we do it, but textually, we call, what do we shake? What's the Esrog called in Hebrew, in the Torah? Priates Hadar. And the Rishonim all grapple with the Hidr Mitzvah, right? The different levels, gradations of what you can buy, and there's Hidr Mitzvah based on the Dalet Minim. And we're going to learn the Gemara very, very shortly, that the mitzvah of Chanukah has 3 levels to it, and it's the regular base, the basic standard mitzvah, mahadrin, and mahadrin, mina mahadrin, same word, right? The same word that's being used, hitter, in both situations.
So isn't it like with the, you know, the davening and the gezerah, like in Rosh Hashanah, it's written, Yom Kippur, it's sealed, and Rosh Hashanah Rabbah, it's like sent off, but you could really, really daven for your gezerah through Hanukkah?
Yeah, isn't that a Chabad thing, or is that everybody
thing? That's a Hasidic thing.
Yeah, okay.
Thank you, Monty, really Handel. So the truth is, when it comes to the holiday of... So we have Rosh Hashanah Rabbah at the end of Sukkot, where we say Guten Kvittel. And what does that mean? So we say that like the it's being sent. And you still have another chance to do tshuva because the mailman has not come yet to send it out. And then when is it being opened? It's being opened on Zos, the last night of Hanukkah. Sarah and I, our anniversary is Zos Hanukkah, the last night of Hanukkah. 19 years, Bezrat Hashem, this year. And so they say, Api Chasidus, that that's really the end of the end, and you still have a chance, you still have a chance until then. So you see a similar, even the bookends, right, the ends of the holidays are also very, very similar, Alpi Torah Sanista, Torah Sod, in the way they're treated. Yeah, amazing. Any other...
So, like, with Sukkot, obviously, like, you commemorate the Ananei HaKavo, which at night was, like, a fire.
Yeah.
And ooh, that's, like, okay. The fire of Hanukkah, awesome.
Okay, that's great, right? The fire at night, good. Very, very nice. Good. Anything else? Okay, so let's begin. You know what? We'll begin here. Okay, source one. The Gemara says Tana Rabbanan. Tana Rabbanan means, it's the Gemara in Shabbos, all of... Chanukah is the only Masechta that doesn't... Sorry, only holiday does not have a Masechta. Purim is Masechta's Megillah. Yom Kippur is Yuma. Rosh Hashanah is Rosh Hashanah. We don't get so creative with the names over here. And when it comes to Chanukah, there's no Masechta's Chanukah. It's tucked away in the second chapter of Masechta Shabbos. Masechta Shabbos, second chapter of Masechta Shabbos is something that we say every single night, every single Friday night in Kabbalah Shabbos. What do you light with and what do you don't light with? So through that, we get into a tangent. Oh, what's the relationship between Shabbos candles and Hanukkah candles? And through that, we have like three or four dapim in a row about Hilchos Hanukkah in Maseches Shabbos. So the Gemara here says, Tana Rabbanan, Mitzvah Hanukkah Ner Ish Beiso. So the Gemara presents a braisa. The Mitzvah of Hanukkah is Ner Ish Beiso. The basic is one candle per household. Va'mahadrin, if you want to do a little bit better, ner l'kol echad v'yachad, second level is one candle per person in the house, every single night. Right? Does anybody do any of those two levels?
No.
No, right? Never even heard of it. Like, what? What's going on here? Va'mahadrin, mina mahadrin, but if you want to do the best of the best, Beit Shammai omrim, Beit Shammai says, yom rishon madlik shmona, Mikan v'yelach poches v'holich. You light on the first day 8 candles, and then you go down every subsequent day until you get to one day on the last night. What does he say you should do in your house? What's mahadrin and mahadrin? According to Beit Shammai,
reduce. You start with 8 and
reducing. Who is how many people are lighting?
Just one.
How many people are lighting?
He doesn't say.
Right? He's coming off of ner l'kol echad v'yachad.
So the assumption is because they keep putting off that, he means also everybody should do it.
So this is a major machlokes rishonim, which comes into practical halacha.
No, he just says madlik, not madlikim.
Oh, there you go. Okay, he says madlik here, so maybe that's a good diuk, Rachel. He says madlik, so maybe he means just one. So that's the opinion of Tosfos. Tosfos says that it's coming not off the previous one, but it's jumping back to the original one, the balabayas, right? Yeah. Lights one. So we go mahadrin. You light one menorah, and now you know there's a signal of what day it is. Rambam says no. Rambam says riboy or. Every single person has their own menorah, in which they each light per night of the week, right? And it changes every single night of the week. It's a major machlokes. Fascinating. It's fascinating. The Rambam says everybody lights in the house. Who does that? Ashkenazim or Sephardim? Ashkenazim.
We do that.
So typically, Sephardim follow the Rambam, and Ashkenazim follow Tosfos. Here, it's backwards. Right? If you want to talk about Achdus, and that theme of Achdus, and Hanukkah, that's where it is right now, because it's like cross, it's cross-wired in terms of the Piskei Halacha here. Beis Hillel Omrim, Yom Rishon Madlik Achas, Mikan V'ilach Mosil Hol. Beis Hillel says, you light one, day one, that's what we do, and you go up, and you increase in light until night eight, and then you light eight. Amr Ula. I want to focus not on this part, but on the next part. What's this machlok as predicated on? Pligi ba trei amorai b'ma'rava. Two rabbis in the West disagree about what exactly the machlokes is. Right? It's not enough that two rabbis are disagreeing about how to do it. We disagree about the disagreements. Okay? Chad amar taima de beishami keneged yamin hanichnasim. V'taima de beisilo keneged yamin hanyotzim. Beishami's opinion is based on how many days left there are, and Beis Hillel is about how many days are, you know, we passed or upcoming. We're up to day one, that's how many days we're up to, that's how many days are passing, good, and that's what we continue. That's not so fundamental, that's not so, you have to ask more questions on that, so like really get into that. What's this rabbi really adding to this opinion? But I want to focus now on the last part of this Gemara. The Chad Amar, the second rabbi, whenever it says Chad and Chad, we don't know who said what. We lost that Mesora, that who said which opinion. The Chanamar time of the Beis Shammai keneged Parei Hachak. Why did Beis Shammai say you go down? Because of the cows of the holiday. Whenever the Gemara is talking about Chag, which holiday is it referring to? Holiday of Sukkos. Right? Chag in the Gemara or the Mishnah always refers to the holiday of
Sukkos.
What?
They reduce
their karbanos. So we bring... And she's good. She's good.
Wow,
you stayed in Musa.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Good. So we on the first day of Sukkot, all the way to the eighth day of Sukkot, Minus Shmini Atzeres, you bring 14 cows korbanos, and then it decreases the number. When you do all that addition, you get the total of 70 korbanos throughout the holiday of Sukkot that are brought 70 bulls. 70 bulls. What? No.
For the
base of Megiddo.
That's a lot of cows.
Yeah, for the seaboard. That's the seaboard.
Okay.
When you give your shekel around Adar time, that's what it's for. Okay? Yeah, that you're represented in the whole, all these korbanos at seaboard. So 70 in total. And there, the number decreases. Beis Hillel says, Malim Mekodesh Vemaridim. Beis Hillel says, why do you go up? Because that's what we do. A Jew always goes up in Kedusha, one after the other. But Beis Shammai's opinion, right, in light of our discussion here, you have to scratch your head. Why did we go down? Because of Sukkos. What? Because of Sukkos? That seems to be a little bit funny. Like, bring me a proof from the Beis HaMikdash about the lit in Erev Chanukah. Bring me a proof that they always lit all the candles in the Beis HaMikdash. Right? Do something. But this, you know, you look at this Gemara, this is like the jumping off point. Like, the Gemara here explicitly is making a direct connection, a direct correlation between the holiday of Sukkot and the holiday of Hanukkah. It's Beis Shammai's opinion, but nonetheless, it is pretty strong. So let's just go on, and we're going to see a few more like this. I remember when we lived in an apartment, Baruch Hashem, 6 years, we lived in the Heights, and there was a big discussion in the Heights, if you lived like above the third or fourth floor, should you light by the window or should you light by the door? Why should you light by the window? Why would be the argument you shouldn't light by the window?
You shouldn't. Too many apples.
It's too high up.
It's too high up.
You can't see it from the street.
What does it mean it's too high up? The Gemara here in Baba Kama tells us that you can't light a menorah more than 20 amos above the ground. Why? Lo shalta ba'ena. The people that are walking by, physically, they don't look that high. People don't look that high. 20 amos is approximately 30 to 40 feet off the ground. Right? So I don't know, third, fourth, are we on the fourth floor? So do you light by the window? And what's the argument to say you could light by the window?
You could see from the street people and also other apartments.
Across the right, the people across the street, assuming there's apartments that are all bunched together, They have windows. You have windows.
So you could see
people could see.
We have cars these days. I feel like then everyone was walking. Now we're driving far away.
So maybe you could see from further away. Maybe that's another reason why you could. So some say that's what you should do, and others say you should light on the inside. It's all predicated on this idea of 20 amos. Happens to be one of the, one of the svarim that I used to prepare this year is a sefer by Rav Shlomo Miller. Rav Shlomo Miller is a Rav in Toronto, part of the Agudas of the Mises Gedolei HaTorah. He has a very, very nice svarim. It's a lot called Piskei Halacha. So he writes in his sefer, he paskins, that if there's another, you know, apartment building across the street from you, then you can light there. But if there is none, he says you shouldn't light on the outside of the door, like in Eretz Yisrael. He thinks in America or in Chutzos, you can't do that. You can light on the inside of the door, and then people, the Mela, will see because your window, your door will be open, and people will see. So, what?
In New York?
No one's going to see by the door?
No one keeps the door open.
We never locked our door in the Heights either. Yeah. Secrets out. Yeah. No, we had always had people come in. Yeah. Yeah. Between the girls from the story, yeah, we had a lot going on there too. Yeah, yeah. Baruch Hashem. So the Gemara now let's look at this Gemara. Amar Rav Kahana, Darish Rav Nasan, Bar Minyumi, Mishmei de Rabbi Tanchum. Rav Kahana says in the name of Rav Nasan Bar Minyumi, in the name of Rav Tanchum Bar Tanchum, good. Ner Chanukah, Shenicha Lamala Masrim Amma, Psula. Ner Chanukah, that you put too high, more than 20 Amas high, is Pasul. Good. Today, contemporary question, great. What else is also Pasul if you put a 20 Amas high?
A sukkah.
What? You knew that?
We had to measure for our sukkah recently.
Yeah. So why is it that a sukkah 20 amos high would theoretically not be kosher? This is the first mission of a sukkah. Why is this? Because same idea. You're not going to feel like you're in a sukkah. If you're living in a sukkah where like it's 20 amos high, you feel like you're in an auditorium. You feel like you're in like a hall. You're not a gym. You're not in a sukkah, which is supposed to be temporary, and it's like hut-like, right?
Balcony in an apartment building that has no overhang.
Yeah,
and that is your sukkah.
Right, it's on the ground.
It's from the ground of where you're standing, so it's not from.
No, but you're living up there.
That's fine.
That's okay.
And you can put your sukkah on.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, no, that's fine. Because it's
the height of the sukkah.
It's the height of the sukkah.
Not from the ground. Not from the ground. In other words,
yeah.
Somebody
from the ground
down
which you're standing.
Yeah.
Necessarily look
so
up.
Where do we have this issue? Yeah, very palatial Hasidisha sukkahs when they have these Rebbisha sukkahs for the Simchas Beis Shoevas. And so, say this, some Rosh Yeshiva and YU, not so happy. Like, I'll pee Hilcha sukkah. It might not be a problem, but there might be ways around it because if you make the walls in a certain way, then based on technicalities in the Gemara, of like, technically, maybe you could make a 20 amos high if the walls are made in a certain way.
In Israel, right? Too, in hotels.
They're very high up, yeah.
We went looking at different ones. I remember one of my kids was like, I don't know, the ceiling is so tall.
Yeah, so it might be issues that are not. One of the Rosh Yeshiva YU once went into one of the sukkahs in one of the well-known hotels in Yerushalayim and said, I guess I'll have some coffee.
Okay.
That was it. Okay. So we have hiddur mitzvah. We have something about the outside. We have 8 days gomer bosa halel. And we have parechag 20 amos. Now, this is amazing. The Hanukkah is obviously durabanan, right? Hanukkah is a durabanan. It's a rabbinic holiday. It is post Beis HaMikdash. It's in the middle of Bayit Sheni. That's when it was established. A little bit of a discussion historically when exactly it was established during Bayit Sheni, or the holiday only really was commemorated after Bayit Sheni was over. That seemed might be Machlokas Rambam Raivid, but that's when it started. It's rabbinic. It's rabbinic in nature. Definitely not a question. It's a malacha when it comes to the holiday. Esther, by the way, Esther, the Gemara says, Esther wanted to initially make an Isser Malacha on Purim. How would you give out Mishloach Manos? I don't know. That would be a whole mess.
It would be like, you'd be so good, I could take off of work so much easier.
Right. Right. I hear that. She didn't get away with it. So the Gemara talks about it. And so here the Gemara, there are three parashios in the Torah which tell us about the Yamim Tovim. There's part in Vayikra, B'Midbar, Dvarim, each has a parsha that tells us about the Yamim Tovim. Vayikra, you have Emor, then you have Pinchas in B'Midbar, and you have Re'eh in Dvarim. So in Emor, and the last of the holidays that's always mentioned, each one of these is Sukkot. Sukkot. Pesach, Shavuot, Sukkot. Well, Nisan, the beginning of the year. Always count from there. So the in Prakim, Chav Gimel, Chav Dalet, we see here, look at source 3. I'm not going to go through it, but the first chunk of first source 3 is all the holiday of Sukkot. You should have Dalet Minim, and we tell us what the Dalet Minim are. And you sit in the Sukkah for 7 days and celebrate. Here actually doesn't talk about Shemini Atzeres. It's a little bit interesting. And then right after that, the section of the holidays is completely over. And then what is the next halacha or mitzvah that the Torah talks about? That you should have Shem and Zayit Zach when you bring the Ner Tamid. The Ner Tamid is brought on the menorah. It's lit all day long. Right? And Shem and Zayit, that's so, why would that be the next psukim right after the story of Sukkot and the Moedim? Right? So the Baal HaTurim, right, one of the Rishonim, Rav Yaakov ben Asher says, this is a hint to the holiday of Hanukkah in the Torah. Right? Mm-hmm. Already, it's a hint to it that it's going to come after. And specifically, he says, it's Dafka comes right after the holiday of Sukkot to teach us this connection. 8 days, Hendel, Gomrin Bo Sahalo. Just like in Sukkot, you're Gomrin Bo Sahalo for 8 days, so too on Hanukkah, same setup. Same exact setup right here. Both are so similar. Right? I think it's fascinating, but the Torah was already alluding to this idea on its own. Maybe not last source, but when did we build the Mishkan? When did we start building the Mishkan? Anyone else? The commandments to start building the Mishkan happened right after Yom Kippur, right? We had the whole mess with Chet Ha'Egel. Then we had a back and forth with a lot of Kapara and Tshuva, Moshe going up and down the mountain many, many times. We achieved full Kapara at the end of Yom Kippur. Right after Yom Kippur, Hashem says to the Jewish people, we need to do things a little bit differently here. I need to have a home amongst you guys. You need to have like a very solid actual reminder, like an edifice needs to be here to remind you of my presence. Otherwise, we may end up with the same thing again. So we're going to have a fundraiser, and we're going to raise money for a Mishkan, right? And all of the women stepped up in a very major way right away, and we raised too much money. Oh my, like first time ever, and maybe the only, Rachel, too much money? Okay. So the Gemara, the Torah says, v'hoser, they had extra. So, and that happened, Yud Aleph, Yud Beis, Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet of Tishrei. Tesvav Tishrei is Sukkot. Sukkot, right, represents that Hashem is back together with us, that we're living with Him in the Sukkah itself. We started building the Mishkan. When did we finish building the Mishkan? Chaf Hei Kislev is Thursday night. That is Chanukah, right? I didn't know where that source was. That's like not. I think we learned that as kids. I think I remember learning that at some point over my childhood. That's a Psikta the Rabasi. Psikta the Rabasi is one of the Midrashim. Writes that in source 6 explicitly. But then this is very, very cute. We didn't start using the Mishkan until the first day of Nisan. So what? Right, we waited. Why do we wait? Simply, the answer that I connect to the most as to why we waited is because the whole reason for Chet Ha'Egel was impatience. If we waited 5 more minutes, Moshe Rabbeinu would have come down and everything would have been a little bit better. Right? We didn't wait. We were impatient. So Hashem says, you want to use the Mishkan right now? You have to wait. You have to be patient. So it's ready. You gotta wait. But the Medrash says it was mekupal. It was like folded up and in storage until Aleph Nisan. And like that just, for me, like is the image of your sukkah all year round. It's in the garage. It's away. It's not here. It's folded up. Right? But you see here a very close and deep connection now between the holiday of Sukkot, the beginning of the building of the Mishkan, and it concludes on Chanukah, even before Chanukah was even a thing. Even Hanukkah was even a thing. The last source, and maybe I would say the scariest source, not the other sources, I don't think, listen, emotions like that, is from the Rokeach. The Rokeach was one of the Rishonim. He was Rav Elazar of Worms. He, Remiza, those familiar, in the Crusades, there were three major cities pre-Crusades that the Jews lived in. They're called Shuv, Shin Vav Mem, Speer, Vermiza, and Mainz. So Relezer of Worms lived in Vermiza. So he has his stuff is like a little bit Kabbalistic, a little Midrashic. He has a parish on the Siddur. He has a halacha sefer, but it's more like a nota towards it's broader, I would say. And he has a parish on Al Hanisa that we're going to be saying very very soon. And he writes here, what does it mean that we are lahavira michukei ritzonecha? That we just begin. B'meibat Yisrael ben Yochanan Kohen Gadol Chashmonai Uvanav v'sh'amar aleh malchus hayavan harasha. In the days of Matisyahu, Kohen Gadol, right, all the Chashmonaim were Kohanim, when the Malchus Yavan HaRisha, when the evil, treacherous king of the Malchus of Greece, the Syrian Greeks, came up, what did they want to do? They wanted to Lashkich on Torah Secha, and then for us to forget our Torah, V'la'aviram Mechukei Ritzonecha, to remove us from like the will of God. So what did they get rid of? So what do we learn? What are the mitzvot they try to get rid of? Shabbos, Bris Mila, Rosh Chodesh, Kashrus. Okay, we're throwing Kashrus. Okay, so
the pig and the Matzot.
Oh, so right, yeah, we'll see.
Don't have
yeah.
to be Moser Nefesh for Kashrus, but in the time of Shema, so yeah, it was Kashrus.
Yeah, good. So here he lists a lot more, and I want to go through them with you.
Oh, also, they took all the women before they were married.
Good, good, good. We'll see it inside. So he says here, Aleph. Yeah. And, you know, you really appreciate, you know, you read a line in Al Nisim every year, and you're like, what is this doing here? So Rabbi Biyab Ne'atim, we can appreciate the fact that we were very little, and we overcame a war of a lot. That's something that we can relate to pre-Simchas Torah, you know, Tav Shin Pei Dalet. We can recognize that that's a miracle, and we'd appreciate why that needs to be mentioned. We have a line, Tmeyim Biyad Tahorim. We were Tahor, and we beat out Tmeyim. What is that doing here? Tmeyim Biyad Tahorim. Tahor people and Tmeyim people, that doesn't say anything about like their strength, their numbers, their power. You know, and think about that as we learn what the Rokeach tells us about what the people of Yavan were doing. Number one, Aleph, the second, this first paragraph. Gazru livol nishoseim nidos. Zimei l'makadosh baruch hu mikvos mayim besoch batehim. They essentially closed off the mikvos. They didn't allow women to go to the mikvah, essentially forcing husbands and wives to either violate that mitzvah or live under very, very difficult circumstances. And definitely subdue the concept of the Jewish family. He says the miracle is that Hashem made mikvos in people's homes. Practically, I don't know how that happened. That's amazing. Okay? Amazing. Number two, Gazru lahafir bismillah. They try to get rid of bismillah. Three, go to the last paragraph. Shabbos, they made people violate Shabbos. But they literally forced people to violate Shabbos. Not like they, like as a kid, you learn, there's an Elmo actually about Hanukkah, and like they talk, it's a very cute Elmo. Like, I used to show it to my students in middle school, and Sasha Elmo says it's regular.
Sesame doesn't have Elmo.
Yeah.
That's why it doesn't.
Yeah, and actually, one of my cousins that was on Liz and Renana is on Shalom Sesame. She's fighting right now. She's a chayelet right now. She's on Shalom Sesame. She's very cute. Then she was. I don't know. Yeah. So I used to show it because to show the differences, what's right, what's wrong, and it was a good way to teach. So.
Elmo doesn't have a knife.
What?
Elmo was wrong.
I hate to break it to you. I'm sorry. Okay. So.
I'm about the
road rats. Dalit. Gazru livol besuleihem lemelech. What they would do is that women on the day of their wedding, before they would get married, is they force this is the Gemara in Ksuvis. Daf Gimel, Daf Dalit in the beginning of Ksuvis. It tells that they would force women to be with the leaders, the hegemon, the local leader of the Syrian Greek army. The chain, heish imbam karis. And then five things that's lower level of eris. Gadru lechol chazer, they force people to eat treif. Shelo yadlika menorah. They wouldn't allow the Jewish people to light the menorah in the Beis Hamikdash. Velo yaasu sukkos. They got rid of the holiday of sukkos.
Where did this come?
Right. That seems like they didn't get rid of the holiday of Pesach. V'hisha amda. Like, mm-hmm. That would be inspiring. No, they let them sing V'hisha amda. But they got rid of sukkos. Velo yichtavu ksuva. They didn't allow men and women to write a ksuva. Velo yilmadu Torah. Torah we've learned. And that's it. Okay? And then there's it continues on with the rest of the perish on here. You see here, like, Tamei and Biyah Tahorim. Right? You see here that this is not just to try to get the Jewish people to forget their Torah. Because if that's all it's about, then close the schools down, burn the books, you know. There's a list, and our enemies know that list, Lashkichan Torah Secha, what they can do, right? You can find it on the internet. And here, it's even worse than that. And you could see, Semeyim Biyad Tahorim.
Defile,
right? And today you can see that and understand that and understand and what we've been saying for years and why that is an uphill battle, why denial, right? Why people are okay with if that happens to a Jewish woman, if that happens to a Jewish child, that's not a problem, and you see that really all over the media today. My grandmother, who lives and breathes Fox News, said she can't watch TV anymore. She's like, I once a year when I go for the conference always in Florida, I stay by her. She like falls asleep to TV. Always I'm really
my
loud.
My friends too. She, Fox,
yeah, she's like, she told me she can't. Yeah. It's not about the politics here, but she's like, I can't watch it anymore. It makes me so angry. It makes me so frustrated. No matter what I'm, it just. So we really, really see that. But here we see another connection to the holiday of Sukkos. No Sukkos. You can keep Shavuos, Torah. You can keep Pesach, freedom. You can keep Yom Kippur, Rosh Hashanah. But you can't keep Sukkos. Right? So here we have, I don't know, I counted about 7 or 8 similarities between the holiday of Sukkos. Yeah.
Like when you think of Sukkot, like you think of like being able to be safe, like outside. So like had like October 7th happened, October 1st. I don't know how we would have felt like being in our sukkahs, like outside.
Such a great point. Mm-hmm. That's a great point. Right.
You feel that safety net outside your own house.
Right. That like really adds to what Dana was saying before about you know being outside. Like being outside is like there's a safety.
Like
there.
A vulnerable.
Yeah.
Being outside.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think in Virginia they canceled the public light.
Right, yeah, right. So that's like what you,
yeah. Yeah, yeah. That's a great. That's a great point. What do we see? So we have 8 days, Hiddur, Pare Hachag. We have the Mishkan and the Chet Egel, 20 Amos. The Torah puts them together according to the Baal Turim. According to the Rokeach, they got rid of Sukkot of all the holidays. What is ultimately the similarity? What is the message here? I would say very, very practically, historically, this is written in Josephus, and I think it was Sefer Maccabim also. I'm not holding any Sfarim, but it is written there that year they couldn't keep Sukkos. They couldn't physically keep the holiday of Sukkos that year because they were fighting a war. So what they did was in Hanukkah that year when they made the holiday, they actually brought Dalamina. They almost said it was like a Teshlimin. So you can appreciate that literally, like you couldn't do it then. It's like Sukkah Sheni, right? So you see, you can appreciate that from a historical perspective. They needed to, they couldn't do it. Oh, there's no mitzvah, but they felt like they had to keep the holiday at a certain point. So there's like historical recollections of them bringing Dalad Minim later on. Okay, so that is one answer. But can you think of anything maybe a little bit more panini, deeper?
Connection between that I'm not missing a Sukkos and. Like what you were just saying before, that they're really trying to cut the Jews off from any sort of kedusha, any sort of like any connection to Hashem or anything. And
yeah.
So, what about Sukkos? I don't know what it is, but that's like that has that connection. That would break the Jewish people more so than taking away any of the holidays.
So Shlomo Miller, Rachel's on to something. So Shlomo Miller, in his save that quote for the rabbi from Toronto, he makes a suggestion. He says that it's really about kedusha. Then when it comes to Sukkos, all of our mundane activities become holy. Like, sleeping in the sukkah is now a whole, you know, it's a mitzvah. Eating, talking, schmoozing, playing a game. It's all, everything in the sukkah becomes kadosh. And if you really look at the list of the rokeach, and he quotes this, that's where I found this, rokeach, it's from his sefer, whoa. Like, what they were trying to do was, like, get rid of the kedusha, right, of the Jewish people. They were focused completely on the body. That's, right, that was their thing. They didn't believe, really, in neshama. They didn't believe that the Jewish people had a connection to Hashem. They wanted to get rid of that connection. And this really all these ideas really underscore maybe this correlation here. The menorah itself and the Beis Hamikdash, you can argue, is like the holiest of things in terms of like what, it's just fire. Everything had a practical, the Ketores brought a nice smell. The Mizbeach brought food. Like the Lechem Upanim also brought very, very, very practical things that you needed, that you physically ate. The menorah didn't necessarily do that. Even the fire, it didn't really bring light to everybody because it was in the Kodesh, which most of us, actually all of us, couldn't go into. We couldn't see it. Yeah.
Isn't Sukkot, I think of Sukkot as like a universal holiday because other nations were allowed to bring carbonos then. Isn't that why we have like Shmini Atzeres, because that's like the particularist.
Yeah.
So, like that, does that, because I keep thinking like, is there a connection between, like I think about Sukkot is like as an agricultural holiday and like connected to the land in Eretz Yisrael, and then Hanukkah, like when you rededicate the Beis Hamikdash, I don't know if that contradicts or you, like you don't think that plays in at all, that it's universal.
Yeah, yeah, let's go.
I'm thinking of something along those lines. Like, Sukkot is supposed to be the holiday where the whole world recognizes God as the leader. Yeah. Like, that's why it's like 70 cows and 70 nations, and like that's literally the opposite of what the Greeks were trying to do. Say, like, kind of tamper that and say they're like, no, the God isn't, we don't recognize this God.
Very good, very good. Hold that thought for 1 second. I have one idea, then I'm going to go back to Team Dana and Shada just then. I was at a wedding last Thursday night, Grinberg wedding, with I'm sitting next to Rabbi Yudin. So I'm like, Rabbi Yudin, what do you think? What's the relationship here? Mm-hmm. You know, very loud. But I said, like, what do you think is the deep idea here? So he said the following. He made the following suggestion. So if you look on the mechitza, on both sides of the mechitza, we have these very nice blue stones. Mm-hmm. So these blue stones were made by Jeff Packard. And Rabbi and I had a lot of fun making the stones. We didn't make them, actually. But Jeff made images of 15 of the Yamin Tovim. There's actually 26 stones on each side. For the gematria of Yudkei Vavkei. We wanted to put some Torah into the machitza. That's, and 15 Yamin Tovim. And we chose Sukkim for each one of the Yamin Tovim. And what's the pasuk we chose for Sukkot? The pasuk we chose for Sukkot was pasuk in Ha'azinu. Lo chasarta, in Ekev. Lo chasarta davar, which means that the Jewish people didn't lack anything in the Midbar. Which is so against what you would think. The Jewish people are in the Midbar for 40 days. Like, you're missing a lot of things. Like, there's nothing in the Midbar, so, you know, for us to eat, drink, etc., clothing. But miraculously, Hashem made everything grow with us. He gave us the food. He gave us the man. He gave us air conditioning. So Sukkot is celebrating the fact that the Jewish people live l'mala min ha-teva, above and beyond nature. And we see that time and time again throughout our history. They thought we were going to get destroyed, and look at us now. We are still here, and they are not. Hanukkah also represents that idea. Hanukkah, the number 8 itself, Api Kabbalah is Lamala Min HaTeva, 7 days of the week, is all within nature. 8 is Lamala Min HaTeva. And so maybe that's in Sukkot and Hanukkah with the menorah going above and beyond. Even the holiday itself and the miracle itself and the war, it's all about Lamala Min HaTeva. So next time you sit next to Rabbi Yudin at a wedding, don't waste your time. Ask him questions. And this is what he comes up with. Okay, so that is, I think, answer number 2 to this deep connection between these two holidays. And then I want to get onto what Shoshana and Dina just shared. And I want to frame it, you'll add, okay, when you have time. I just want to frame it the following way with 2 points. I saw something from Rabbi Reisman that I never thought of before. Is that the 70 cows that we bring, that's a Rashi, represent the 70 nations of the world. Like Shana was saying, like, it's a universal part of Sukkot, which I really never related to. Like, what does that mean? It's universal. Like, that means we should have, like we should invite everybody to our sukkah. That doesn't seem to be, like, what the message is. Like, what is this message of universalism? And then, every single day, it's pochis v'holich, pari echad. It goes down. So I always thought that meant it goes down because we want to get rid of them, right? And they're going to be none. And then it goes down to one, right? On Shmini Atzeres, as opposed to those days, we bring one to represent, like you said, our relationship to Hashem. So Rabbi Reisman says something very, very different, and I never thought of this before. He says that's not what it is. The 70 nations is a number. There's maybe more, there's maybe less. No. But what does that represent? Because there's a lot of different opinions about God, no God, many gods, in the world itself. And what do we want? We want to shave away that number. To the point, right, that we get to one. Not that they become like us, not that they are gone, but they see Hashem in this world. Right? Do your thing, right? Sheva mitzvah v'enoch. Do your thing. But understand, there's one Hashem. The Navi, the Navi of Zechariah, that we sing at the end of Davi, end of Aleinu, Ayah Shalom Melech, Kol Aretz, right? Bayoma Huya Hashem Echad, Ushmo Echad. It's also universalist. It's about everybody seeing this idea. And when you take this and you look at the holiday sukkahs, you'll see that this comes up a few more times. With the one of the haftorahs for sukkahs is about Gog and Magog, the end of days. Right? There's one haftorah. Sukkahs has within that, it's rooted very much in the past, but there's a lot in sukkahs really about future, futuristic. We have a chazal that we're going to sit in a sukkah of Lev Yassan, Yimos HaMashiach. No idea what that means. Lev Yassan is some type of serpent, sea serpent that comes out once every 70 years. And we're going to sit in that sukkah. It's a sukkah. It could be something else. It's a sukkah. Sukkahs itself is something about the future. So we had everybody somehow, some way, being on the same page. Rav Kook writes that, I was talking to Rabbi Goldscheider last night. Rabbi Goldscheider just came back to Eretz Yisrael. He's a son-in-law of Judy and Arthur Goldberg. He's a great, teaches a lot of Torah, and he's a great author. His written word is very, very beautiful. And I asked him, see, he says that the Rav Kook writes all over, like all over his writings about Hanukkah, that every other holiday of the year is all about the past. That on Pesach, Chayo Adam Liras Tatzmo, you have to look at yourself in the past. He says, Hanukkah is not about the past at all. It's all about the future. By Yamim Ayim Bazman Hazeh, you're remembering the past, because you want it right now. So he says, when you're lighting, what's the kavanah of lighting the menorah? It's not lighting the menorah of the past, right? Of the Maccabim, of the recreation, the rededication of the Beis HaMikdash. He really says it's bringing you futuristic to the future of lighting the Beis HaMikdash, lighting the menorah in the third Beis HaMikdash. Mm-hmm. It's all about, right, focusing really on the future. Hanukkah also, and I didn't think about this connection, Shoshana, that you just mentioned, Hanukkah is the only holiday. It's the only holiday that we commemorate something that happened in Eretz Yisrael. Oh. It's the only one. Huh. There's no... Eretz Yisrael is so central to our lives. It's not a question. It's not a question. I'm leaving off the modern holidays of Yom Yerushalayim and Yom HaTzimut. In the rabbinic, and right, every single one did not happen in Eretz Yisrael except for Hanukkah. Yeah. Right? Crazy. Never thought it, right? I haven't seen it written, anyone really address this directly. And you have to think about that. What does that mean? You think about the connection now to the harvest and to the Zman HaKatzir of all the Yamin Tovim that are Daraisa. Sukkot really has that deeper connection, right? The Rambam writes that the Dalaminim correlate to the four parts of Eretz Yisrael, the different types of topography and... of Eretz Yisrael, and that's why they're all different parts. You find them in different parts of the land. And so putting all this together, what does this mean? I would say, what does it mean to me? I'll share what it means to me, and love to hear your thoughts. That Sukkot is about a journey. Sukkot represents our 40 years in the Midbar, those ups and those downs, the difficult moments, the wars, the, you know, that going back, taking two steps back, taking one step forward, and v'chulei. But it represents a journey with the ultimate dream to get into Eretz Yisrael. And what we really thought was that when we get into Eretz Yisrael, things would be perfect, right? That's the dream, right? We think about that in our lives also. We think like, if only I get to this next stop, things are going to be amazing, right? I just need to get there. And then you learn, like, not really. Like, I got the promotion. It's great. I love it. The paycheck doesn't hurt. But, like, there's still challenges. And maybe they're the same challenges or not. Maybe it's internal. Maybe it's external. Whatever it is. But it's still there. It's still there. And when you get to Eretz Yisrael and you read Yoshua, Shoftim, for bits and pieces, and Shmuel, and, like, the beginning of Malachim, things are, like, okay, like pretty good. And then, right, I was learning, Malachim Aleph Perek Tes with my daughter today. And just like...
Yeah, but that went down.
Nobody in the Midbar made it into Eretz Yisrael. They did the journey, but they never got the dream.
They never got the dream, right. Except for a few, exceptions. Right, very few exceptions. And when you get to Eretz Yisrael, things you think are going to go so well, and they don't. And we have moments. We have moments where, like, we really shine as a nation. Moments are like, it's really amazing. And then you have moments where, like, oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Like Rachel's saying, I can't believe all of my children are awake right now. Because that's what that noise is. Right? That can't be one child. That's a lot of children. Okay. Right.
It's okay. Alex is sleeping. Right.
Like Yom Kippur.
We're all not shocked
right now. Alex is here.
Yeah. Yom Kippur versus Sukkot, right? Everything's right. What happened, everything. So Hanukkah represents that, where things don't always go so well. It's a journey in Eretz Yisrael. It's a journey like within this Geula type of mindset. It's a journey like at the end, hopefully, at the end of the road, we're closer to the end than we are to the beginning. And we're definitely like there. We're there. We're knocking on the door, but we're not there yet. We're not there yet. And that's what Chanukah, to me, this connection really speaks to. It's two bookends to two parts of our destiny, our history, and that's really where we are, I think, today, where we are in Eretz Yisrael, feeling so much about, and I've seen, so many different feelings that have come up over the past few months. I would say, like, a lot of feelings that people maybe never had or haven't had for many years about Eretz Yisrael, to need to consider the notion that we wouldn't have an Eretz Yisrael, God forbid, right? Or need to consider the notion that we need every single person in the army, and we need every single person not in the army to be helping the army, and to help is something that we've maybe never experienced, and if we have, we haven't experienced it in 50 years. In at least 15 years. Lily was there last time. It was like this. If it was, close to it. And to feel that connection to Eretz Yisrael is so, so important. And I end just with a little bit of my trip. I can't pick one part of my trip to share with everybody because it was just so amazing. But a lot of the people that we met it was 4 days that we were there, especially the mayor of Kiryat Arba, Sarah mentioned him on Shabbos too, the Lievmans, they have like this very strong clarity, right, of understanding where we are. I think when you live in Chutz Aretz, we don't see it. We're clouded with like a lot more things. We just are. We don't see things as clear as people do in Eretz Yisrael. There are people here, and I think we definitely can tap into that. I remember after walking out of one Shiva house, people literally extending their Shiva. It wasn't a Shiva house formerly. Extending Shiva for us to come in. And I was talking to a few different rabbis and other lay leaders from the trip. And sorry, Rivka, I don't make you nervous.
Very nervous.
I do this sometimes, Rivka. Yeah. So and we're like, can we? Yeah, I tip my chair back sometimes. I make you nervous. So you think about people like this that are like so understand, and that life is going to have very difficult moments, like very difficult Chanukah moments, pre Chafei Kislev. He's going to have moments like that. and to understand that there's like a bigger picture that we're part of, like this Klal Yisrael. It's like we heard this like many times. We're part of a book called Klal Yisrael, and this is my son. Is part of one chapter, right? And that he could be there. And we can have this. Like if we, it takes a little bit more work. In America, it does. It takes a little bit more work. We can get there. We can. We have to like drain out a lot more noise. But we can get there, and we can tap into that. And maybe it means by this Thursday night to take a few extra moments. Usually, like to say, take a few extra moments of silence, you know, and just have like nothing. It definitely should be screen free by the candles, but try to like think about all the kids and adults and parents and children that can't light candles or are lighting one less menorah in their home, and lean on their strength, because we've only seen so much strength from them. My friend's cousin just was killed this morning. Zussman was the last name. And I saw the video of Mrs. Zussman speaking at her son's funeral, and the tremendous strength that they have. Two cousins were killed in the beginning, October 10th. And now it's, my very close friend's family. And they are so strong. They are so strong. Continue to dive in and continue to really tap into that, you know, beauty and depth of Am Yisrael. And may be that through this Hanukkah, we really experience Bayamim Ahim, Bazman Hazeh, that we really are able to see the miracles, and we emerge victorious through Hanukkah, and we see miracles, and we see the Yad Hashem in every way, and with that's the fullest meaning of that. Thank you so much for listening and learning together.